Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in Daily Fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Hello! Welcome! As the voice said, I am Crazy Gaby, and I am hanging out here all by myself today. Unfortunately, my schedule a little bit wacky at the moment, and couldn't find a time here with Justin. You know him as Big Italy 42. Couldn't find an opportunity to record with him, so unlike the Seahawks last night, when faced with a tough decision, we chose to make a very logical choice. And that was having me record by myself. Was that too early, by the way? The night after, a shot's fired at the Super Bowl contending Seattle Seahawks? I don't think so. That was a terrible play call. Of course, I'm sure if any of you have been hiding under a rock, maybe you didn't hear about it. But all of the rest of you have probably chimed in and given your 2 cents on Twitter. It was a little disappointing for me. I was really hoping to see some Tom Brady magic. I really wish Belichick would have called the timeout. I would have loved to see Brady get the ball back with 40, 50 seconds left, do a little bit of magic, needing a field goal, solidify his legacy with another crazy fourth quarter comeback. Although, to be fair, it was a pretty crazy fourth quarter comeback in the first place. So, I don't know. Always wanting more. Human nature, etc., etc. Blah, blah, blah. In the end, very entertaining Super Bowl, one of the more entertaining Super Bowls in recent memory, and definitely better than last year's. You know who else knows it was better than last year's? That would be the Seattle Police Department with the shots fired shortly after the game ended. I don't have the exact tweet on hand, but it was basically something along the lines of, now we all know what it feels like to be Broncos fans, so ouch! Ouch! Seattle Police Department putting in work, putting in overtime, taking some of those funds that we've been giving them for all the tickets they've been writing up, and putting them to good use, firing up the old tweet machine. Enough of that, though. Let's go ahead and talk about FanDuel, because FanDuel.com sponsors this podcast. We absolutely love what they do for the DFS community, what they do for the entire DFS scene in general, and we also love the World Fantasy Hockey Championship. Of course, we have one of our very own, Duger1234. You can catch his live shows and his articles at rotogrinders.com. We have him heading out to Vegas to play in this bad boy, and this is the first ever live fantasy hockey final. It's a wonderful thing. $50,000 to first place. Huge prize pool. They're going to be boozing out in Las Vegas. All expenses paid. Well, as far as the hotel and the airfare is concerned, if you want to put it all on black, that's on you. They're not going to stop you, but that is on you. Qualifiers start for as low as $2. They go to $5, $10, $25, $100. You can qualify for the FanDuel World Fantasy Hockey Championship. Now, before we get into any daily fantasy basketball talk for today, really quickly, I am going to go over something that a lot of people have been asking me about. I figured I could just address it on a podcast here, and I could give you guys a little bit of insight, at least as far as I can tell. There's probably a lot of perspectives on this, so this is not the be-all, end-all. You know, use your noggin. Other people have other experiences. Just keep your mind open. Don't think this is the only way. But people have been asking me a lot about breaking into the daily fantasy sports industry. How do you break in? And you can't see me right now, but I'm using these air quotes with my fingers. Obviously, it's a competitive space, but there's a lot going on now. A lot more than there was 3 years ago when I first started trying to get into all this nonsense. There are four principles, four easy steps for four easy payments of $29.99. Just send them to my PayPal. There are four steps that I've kind of highlighted. Of course, there's more that goes into it than this, but these are kind of the four main ones that I can think of looking back on my own experience that I believe wholeheartedly are what accounted for me getting to the point where I'm at now. And I am going to share those with you guys because I do think it's obtainable. And the first one is just work your ass off. Work your ass off for free. And that last part is the tough pill for some people to swallow, especially because there is a significant time commitment that goes into being a daily fantasy sports analyst. Even if you're just writing a blog, maybe you're just throwing out some picks, whatever it is you're doing, if you're going to be good at what you do, you have to put some time into it. And at first, that's going to likely mean you're working another job. You're going to have to take it and treat it as a part-time job or an internship where you're not actually drawing a paycheck. And you're going to have to put the time in to work hard. So basically, if you don't have that available in your life, if you don't have time available to set aside, it's going to be very difficult for you to break into this sort of industry just because that's really what's required. Not a lot of people get paid breaking right in. Very few. In fact, I can't think of anybody, unless they were a crossover from the season-long fantasy area and already had an impressive resume, I can't think of anybody that just gets paid straight out of the, you know, straight out of the whole ordeal as soon as they step into the space. So just know that. Work your ass off for free. It'll pay off if you are actually working your ass off. Number two, and this one is really important, and it's being accessible. Be accessible. Now you might be asking yourself, Gaby, what does that mean to be accessible? That just means when people want to talk, when people want to pick your brain, when people want to ask your advice, when people have a question, answer it. Talk with them. Dialogue. Ask them how they're doing. Is their grandma doing all right? How's their cat? Just be an accessible human being. And that in and of itself is something that people naturally, you know, get into that human instinct facet. People naturally just crave folks who are open and accessible. They're drawn to them. One of the easiest ways to build, I don't want to say a fan base, because that really, I think, downplays and devalues what all of us here at Roto Grinders and everywhere else think of those who do come to us for advice. I don't think of you guys just as fans. I know nobody else does. You are valuable and integral parts of this community, and we appreciate all of you. And if you're looking to get into this space, into the daily fantasy industry, it is extremely important to be accessible and become that, available for other people to talk to. And I think one of the simplest ways to do that is to just start on Twitter answering questions, talking to people, giving your thoughts on things. Don't be too concerned about whether or not you're right or you're wrong. This is daily fantasy sports. Even the best folks in this space are going to be wrong sometimes. So you got to kind of throw those inhibitions out the window. And one of the really cool things with Twitter is you can use the Twitter advanced search. You can find what people are talking about. So, you know, if there's a certain situation that's tricky for a night, you can search for tweets that are going out about that, people that are asking questions generically on Twitter, and you can chime in and just give a couple of cents. I used to do that a little bit, probably not as much as I should have, but I actually picked up some followers that way, some people that I could interact with on Twitter, and it worked out very well. I think it could definitely work out for any of you who are looking to further your daily fantasy careers. The next one is networking. And this is a natural evolution of the second step of being accessible. It's a little bit different than just being accessible, though, because it's really more about joining conversations and discussions and providing something of value and being kind. Whereas being accessible is more has more to do with, you know, people who are seeking interaction, you being open to it. Networking is more finding conversations and joining in, if that makes any sense. And one of the best quotes I've ever heard about networking is, if you are trying to network on purpose, you're an asshole. And I believe that to be wholeheartedly true. Your reason for doing things, for joining conversations, for making friends, shouldn't be just to network to see how far you can vault yourself up the totem pole or up the food chain. That's the sort of thing that can happen naturally if you are accessible, if you work your ass off. But just insert yourself into conversations, talk, provide something of value, provide encouragement. Hell, that's something that's not out there a lot these days. Encouragement. A lot of Debbie Downers. Encouraging words can go a long way. You know, telling somebody you appreciate them can go a long way. You never know when you're networking, and that is exactly the point. You shouldn't. You should just do the first two steps, work your ass off, be accessible, and then join into conversations around the industry. The networking will happen naturally and on its own. And in my opinion, that is the only networking that is worth its weight in gold. The last step, and this really isn't even so much a step as it is a reminder, be yourself. Just be who you are. Your personality is unique because it's you. I know it sounds like I'm some Care Bear or an episode of Barney or something like that, but it's the truth. You are you, and that means you are unique, and that means that you have something potentially to bring to the daily fantasy scene that nobody else in the entire world could possibly bring. So just be yourself. People see through transparency is the thing. It's very easy, especially in the modern digital age where everybody is a skeptic. It's very easy to see through transparency. So just be yourself. And if you do those other three steps and you be yourself, good things will happen in the long run. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen next week. Probably not next month. Maybe even not next year. But you do those things and good things will happen in the long run. And the nice thing, of course, is all of us are situated in an industry that is one of the 10 fastest growing in the United States. So that, of course, helps trying to find your place in the daily fantasy industry. All right. Let's go ahead and get into some takeaways from the NBA over this past weekend. Got a few of them jotted down here. Hashtag Von Gaughan, as in Jacques Vaughn of the Orlando Magic. We are supposed to learn of his fate today. I will not be surprised if he is not coaching the Orlando Magic this evening. And for DFS purposes, if he is coaching the Orlando Magic, I have no clue what the hell to expect, because this guy was pulling desperation move rabbits out of his hat all night long. Willie Green playing the whole fourth quarter. Elfrid Payton sitting out, leaving the bench in. I mean, the guy clearly is in over his head. He's overmatched. He's made his cash. It's time for him to go. He needs to be an assistant on someone's bench somewhere. He's not equipped to be a head coach on a basketball team in the National Basketball Association. So just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. And I also think towards the future, keep an eye on Kyle O'Quinn. Jacques Vaughn just did not like Kyle O'Quinn. I feel like he misutilized him often. I do think we have not seen the last of Kyle O'Quinn. I think there's going to come a time this season when Kyle O'Quinn will be a relevant name again. He's an afterthought now. Just keep your eye open. A guy like that who's active on defense can rebound and shoot threes. That's right. Kyle O'Quinn added three-point shooting to his repertoire this offseason. Those guys aren't the kind of dudes you just let rot as the 10th, 11th, or 12th man on your bench. Just doesn't happen on a team that wants to win. You've got to utilize the assets that you have. Next up, Point Ellis, Point Monte. I'm excited for this one tonight. I know it's a matchup with a huge spread, and we'll get to that when we talk about tonight's games. But just know that whenever Rondo goes down, this offense will presumably shift back into its high-octane mode, where they were the number one offense in the NBA before Rajon Rondo arrived. Rondo, of course, down for the count tonight. We get Point Ellis, and Point Ellis is a beautiful thing. Wall hobbled. John Wall is hobbled at the moment. He's dealing with a variety of ailments. He's sick. He's got migraines. He's got a banged-up Achilles. Now, he sat out practice yesterday, and he says that he's going to try to play tonight, but he's also officially listed as questionable. Now, he's looked damn good, supposedly, while dealing with all of these things in his last few starts. He had to miss one, of course, in the middle there. If he doesn't play, I'm getting a little ahead of myself again, but if he doesn't play, you're going to have to take a long, hard look at Bradley Beal, who will see increased responsibilities, and just be careful about John Wall this evening. It's nice that it's an early log game, so we will know, but just be careful about going all in. Whenever somebody starts talking about, man, you know, I should probably miss a game, I should probably sit one out, blah, 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 it gets extremely dicey, in my opinion, to roster that player, because those are the kind of guys that end up leaving at halftime if the game's a little out of hand, or hell, even if it's close and they're just not feeling good. So just temper your expectations on John Wall and keep your ear to the grapevine. See what the beat reporters are saying throughout the day. You know, does he look good and shoot around? Is he hobbled a little bit? Is he sitting out shoot around but still wants to play tonight? It'll kind of help you form your decision on that. Real quick, newsflash, DeMar DeRozan is back, and he continues to be underpriced at FanDuel. Take advantage regardless of matchup for the time being. James Harden, his knee. Now, he came out and played a much better second half than he did first half, and he hurt the knee in the first half. It's supposedly just a bruise, which they could be very painful. They can definitely cause you to steer clear of running and jumping and banging into guys in the post, etc. Except with Dwight Howard out and the competitive, basically the hyper-competitive Western Conference eating its own constantly, you just can't afford to throw in the towel with your best player for X amount of days for him to get better. If he can play through it, I see James Harden playing through it. I think next game is going to tell us a lot. Because if he comes out and he's sore, and he looks limited, and he looks hobbled, and he doesn't look like he's moving well, then we know he's just trying to play through it, and this guy's legitimately injured. Maybe we stay away. So I'm going to take a little bit of a wait-and-see approach, but again, it's very difficult to not roster James Harden, at least some of your rosters, because shooting guard is generally so terrible. Jordan Clarkson, at least as far as the Lakers are concerned, this guy's going to be for real. Listen, I told you guys for a little while to stay away from him. Remember that whole thing earlier where I said sometimes we're just wrong? Well, that was one of those instances. I am not keen on Jordan Clarkson's game. But if he is going to basically be the square peg fitting into the round hole, that's an example of the Lakers forcing him to be their point guard, I'm just going to run with it. Price tag should probably still be down next game that he plays. He's taking over 10 shots a game. He's racking up some assists. Go for it. All bets are off, at least for the time being, until we see something different. Oklahoma City scored 74 points last game. A team containing a healthy Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant scored 74 points in a game in regulation. This is mind-blowing. I know it's the Memphis Grizzlies. I know it's a tough defense. This is mind-blowing to me. There's a lot of things going on in Oklahoma City to be scared about. You know, one of which is Kevin Durant leaving to the Wizards in a couple of years. Not making the playoffs is number one, though. These guys are not playing anywhere close to Western Conference playoff basketball. The Pelicans are picking it up right now. They are ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference. It's going to be a very difficult uphill battle for the Thunder to make the playoffs at this point, and Deion Waiters is taking away shots and usage rate from Kevin Durant. It's just, this whole thing is a mess. Man, it's just going to be tough to pay up for these salaries in anything but a tournament bullet or two until we start seeing some consistency, some clarity from what they're trying to do. Milwaukee have looked extremely good playing small ball with John Henson at the five. I mean, extremely good. And we see this a lot in the NBA these days. A lot of teams like to go small. They put one true big out there, and they surround them with four wing players. It's working out very well for the Grizzlies. They look like a very strong team at the moment. And by the way, if you're wondering why I'm not reading off the over-unders, the Vegas totals or whatever, a little bit later, it's because they haven't been released yet. And I was going to talk about the Milwaukee over-under here, but I looked on the screen and saw it had not been released yet. So take that for what you will. Just throwing that out there so you guys don't ask why I wasn't reading those off. Denver is awful. Next. And don't be afraid of paying up for Hassan Whiteside as his price tag continues to escalate. The guy is legit. He is absolutely legit. A lot of times what will happen is we'll start taking a value play, they'll perform very well, and then once they reach a certain threshold, whatever that might be in our minds, we choose not to roster them anymore because we just think to ourselves, all right, he's kind of reached the penultimate of his value. I'm not going to take him at his apex. I'm going to wait for him to fall back down. Two things. Hassan Whiteside is not going to fall back down in value this year unless he gets injured, and he is a much better player than his salary is even currently. I'm going to be willing on FanDuel to pay upwards of $8,000 for this guy in the right matchup. And I'm not going to think twice about it because he just looks extremely good. It's not one of those flash in the pan, a couple of lucky performances. He's done it for an entire month now, averaged 13 points, 10 rebounds, 3.5 blocks per game. Give me the right matchup, I'll definitely be willing to pay up for him. He's basically DeAndre Jordan with actual scoring ability at this point, which is a terrifying thing. Should be a terrifying thing for any team that goes to play against him. All right, let's go ahead and talk about tonight's games. As I said again, I will not be reading off the over-unders. At least on the page I'm looking at, they have not been released yet. Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. This one going to have a huge, huge spread, whatever the case ends up being. And that means that the Cleveland Cavaliers outside of LeBron James will all be tournament plays for me, with the exception of Tristan Thompson. Great matchup. Boost in garbage time. Should be fine with his normal 25 to 28 minutes per game. The price tag's come down finally, 5,400 on FanDuel. All in on some Tristan Thompson in this one. And as far as the Philadelphia 76ers are concerned, with everybody healthy and back, just no reason, as far as I'm concerned, to go in on any of these guys. Charlotte at Washington. I'd imagine the spread on this one will be something like Washington -7.5, Washington -8. Maybe put a game total like 197, 196. I don't know. I'm not an odds maker. You're going to laugh when you probably see what the totals are when you turn on this podcast and they're posted. Brian Roberts continues to be an excellent value play at the point guard position. Don't let last game's stats fool you. He sat out a good majority of the time because it was a blowout, and he just basically went 0 for 6 from the field and didn't need to do a whole lot. When you're up 30, you kind of aren't pushing the issue if you're a point guard. You're going to let other people shoot the ball. Cody Zeller and Al Jefferson are going to be the big question marks today because Marvin Williams is once again questionable, erring towards the side of playing. He was actually supposed to be cleared from his concussion before last game. That means he should be cleared tonight. If he comes back, just be careful. Be careful about paying up for Cody Zeller or Al Jefferson. Marvin Williams factors into that mix a little bit. I'm not saying I won't play either of those guys. I'm just saying I'm going to be cautious. It's not going to be a slam all of them. You know, slam both of those guys, Big Al and Cody Zeller, into all of my lineups. I'm going to practice some moderation there. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, another very solid play. Washington struggles with the small forward, with old man Paul Pierce out there. He can't stay with an athletic specimen like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Next up, we got the Washington Wizards. The aforementioned John Wall, who you'll need to keep an eyeball on. We love him at home. We love the price point, $9,200. We love everything about him except his potential health issues. So, not really keen on anybody else for the Washington Wizards in this one. So we'll leave it at John Wall. And if John Wall were to somehow miss this game, or for some reason miss this game, I would definitely be going in on Bradley Beal hardcore. Milwaukee at Toronto. This one should be a relatively close spread, although Toronto at home is tough. So I'll probably take this one at like -5 for Toronto. The Bucks have actually been playing a lot faster, so I think the total will be over 200. Probably like 204, 205, something like that. So, when you look at this game, you see the Milwaukee Bucks playing up in pace, taking on the Toronto Raptors. You see the Raptors playing a little bit down in pace, although not that much. This is not 2014's Milwaukee Bucks squad. But it's still down in pace a little bit. At least since they've got DeMar DeRozan back. And actually, now as I take a look at the numbers, which I generally do as I'm saying things like that, it looks like I have misspoken in this regard. Toronto actually playing slightly up in pace, although it's negligible at best. Toronto averages 95.9 possessions per game, and Milwaukee averages 96.5. So it's 0.6 of a possession more per game for Milwaukee. So basically two evenly matched teams. Two middle-of-the-pack speed offenses. My stance still stays the same. DeMar DeRozan really the only player for the Toronto Raptors that I want exposure to, mainly because his price point on FanDuel is extremely soft at the moment, $6,800. This is a player we were paying between $8,500 and $7,500 for on the daily last year, even around $9,000 when his price would start to peak. You look at his fantasy production the last five games, 42, 34, 27, 45, 36 fantasy points. Is about as much of a lock for me today as you can get DeMar DeRozan at home. As far as the Milwaukee Bucks, it's really just going to depend on the injuries. Zaza Pachulia, Ursano Yusova, both of them considered questionable for tonight's game. John Henson, of course, would move into heavy consideration if either or both of those players were to miss. And then, of course, you've got the small ball lineups I was talking about with guys like Jared Dudley and Chris Middleton. playing in front court positions. So if you have both of those guys out there for significant minutes, Dudley's minutes have really ramped up over the past two. All those sort of, you know, cheap utility guys are in play, and I know it sounds like a losing strategy because we don't like messing around with Jason Kidd's rotations, but he's tightened it up a lot. He's finally starting to see what he likes. This is a team that's clearly going to be in the playoffs in the East. It's good enough to. I think there's a very good possibility they land the 7 or 8 seed. I don't think they're going to mess too much with what they have going on right now, and that means that all these guys can be the cheap glue that allows you to fit the studs that you like in. OJ Mayo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jared Dudley, Chris Middleton, John Henson. All glue guys that allow you to play the other folks that you want to play. LA Clippers at Brooklyn Nets. This one will be a little bit of a lower total than the Los Angeles Clippers are used to seeing, basically because the Brooklyn Nets are the most slow, non-methodical beast I've ever seen. I mean, this is the unflashiest team in the NBA. I can't stand to watch a Brooklyn Nets game. I tried to watch half of one earlier this season. I stopped doing it. I no longer watch Brooklyn Nets games. That being said, they have been having a rough time against big men as of lately, especially at the power forward spot. Blake Griffin, probably the one Clipper I'm thinking about paying up for just because of the matchup. And my guess is the spread will be relatively close in this game. I don't think it's going to get out of hand, like a 12 or a 13-point spread. That's probably where it would be if the Clippers were at home. I think it'll probably stay to a single-digit spread, and the total will probably be, like, I don't know, 196, 197, something like that, maybe a little more. But, yep, I don't think I'm going to be taking anyone else from the Clippers in this one. And for Brooklyn, Jarrett Jack, Brook Lopez, and Mason Plumlee will all three be tournament plays for me. Joe Johnson as well, although I'm a little less bullish on him just because he's dealing right now with tendonitis, and he's another one of those walking, sits out at halftime types players. Not a lot of upside either. His price tag hasn't gone down as much as you would think it would. Atlanta at New Orleans. I'd say this one will be around 205, 204 as the total. Say Atlanta will probably be like a -2, -2.5 point favorite in this one. Pelicans playing very good basketball right now. And that team from Atlanta is as well, or at least I've heard. You take a look at what the Atlanta Hawks do. They take away your best option, a la Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. There's not a lot to pay up for on the high end this evening is the only problem. Anthony Davis in a close game, very difficult to resist. So while I am torn as to whether or not I'm going to be playing him, there's a good chance he makes it into a decent number of my lineups, simply for lack of better options at the price point this evening. You know, you can pay for LeBron in a potential blowout. You can pay for Blake Griffin in a game where he's going to be playing much slower pace. You can pay for Anthony Davis in a close game, but it's also a tough matchup. All of the big-name studs have blemishes this evening, so you're just going to have to figure out which one you can tolerate the easiest. Tyreke Evans at home, point guard, sign me up. Tournament-only play, though. I don't like taking any players really against the Atlanta Hawks just because they are so solid on the defensive end of the court. I guess you could probably consider like Eric Gordon if you needed a cheap shooting guard, although I'm not going to be looking that direction again. Just sticking to my rule of not playing a lot of players against the Atlanta Hawks. As far as the Hawks are concerned, I don't want to take Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap's, I think, going to have his hands full against Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is every bit as quick, not quite as strong, but definitely has the wingspan on Paul Millsap. So definitely going to be an interesting matchup to see how those two battle. My guess would be Paul Millsap tries to bully him off of low post position as much as possible, just because it's basically going to be impossible to stop Brow if he can get the ball in his comfort zone on the block. So that'll be a very interesting battle to watch. Kyle Korver, great matchup, great price point. Somebody that I will certainly be investing in this evening at 5,100, especially since the New Orleans Pelicans are bad against shooting guards. Next up on the Atlanta Hawks menu, you got Jeff Teague, who I think can run circles around Tyreke Evans. And you've got my favorite play from the team, Al Horford. Close game, you say? Al Horford heating up, you say, and on fire? Sure thing. 8,100, favorite center play of the night when you consider price point. the fact that it's going to be a close game, and the fact that the Pelicans have been sort of soft on defense to big men, in particular centers. And I guess I shouldn't say big men because power forwards have been getting eaten alive by Anthony Davis. But centers, it's just been meh. Maso Manos, middle of the road. I love me some Al Horford this evening. He's the fifth most expensive center. That's bonkers the way he has been playing. Al Jefferson still costs more than he does. Orlando at Oklahoma City. I mean, this game should be a blowout. Jock Vaughn, if he even coaches the game, doesn't have enough assets, especially with Victor Oladipo questionable, to really make a run at the Oklahoma City Thunder. But then again, the Thunder have looked awful. I think the spread in this one probably ends up looking something like minus 13, minus 14. I think that Oklahoma City ends up being in a game with a total of, I'll say like 209, 210. And I think Orlando gets blown out. Very difficult for me to want to pay up for Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook the way they're playing and how easily this could be a blowout. As far as Orlando is concerned, I will most likely be staying away. If I have exposure to any players, it'll be Elfrid Payton if Victor Oladipo is out. And it will also be Nikola Vucevic, who has been tearing it up as of late. I think he's a fine player to just say at the beginning of the day when you're building lineups, hey, I want to have a couple of lineups with exposure to this guy because he's going to go off for 60 fantasy points again soon. He's just been absolutely on fire. He's sizzling. Minnesota at Dallas. Now, this is the real interesting game. This one probably going to have a double-digit point spread easily. Might even compete with the Philadelphia at Cleveland game for the highest spread of the night. Would not be surprised at all. The total also is going to be fairly high in this one. It'll definitely be over 200. I'd say probably around 207, 208. But the team total is going to be siding with the Dallas Mavericks, not with the Minnesota Timberwolves. You got Mo Williams and Ricky Rubio, who are both questionable to play in this one. Zach LaVine, who is likely to miss per coach Flip Saunders. What is a girl to do? Point Wiggins. Love me some Andrew Wiggins again tonight. He's going to have to handle the ball a ton. And I think Kevin Martin is an interesting tournament play because while he's not been shooting well since returning, he's shooting extremely high volume. If those shots start falling, if he has a game where he catches on fire, that's an easy 50 fantasy points out of one player if he's on fire. So Kevin Martin, somebody that I will certainly have some exposure to in my tournaments tonight, but mainly it's going to be Andrew Wiggins from this game. Maybe a little Thad Young if I'm feeling thrifty. Frisky. And that's because of the minutes he's been playing. He's approaching 40 nearly every game now, so at least there's opportunity on the court for him to put up some big numbers. Last and certainly not least, Memphis at Phoenix. Now, Memphis, I feel comfortable saying, definitely playing up in pace. The Phoenix Suns play at the second fastest pace in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies play at the 26th fastest pace of the NBA. It's actually a 7-possession difference between the two. Now, that is a sizable difference worth noting. This one probably going to have a total in the low 200s just because games with the Memphis Grizzlies are so slow that they just cannot, by definition, have a huge total. And the spread is likely going to be in Memphis' favor, even though I think it's going to be close. And I actually wouldn't be surprised like if this game came out as a pick'em. Not a lot of pick'ems in the NBA. I would not be surprised if this game came out as a pick'em. I don't think it will exactly, but I would not be surprised just to see exactly which of these teams is better is really difficult to break down. I would personally give the edge to Memphis in this battle. But it's really tough. It really is tough. I think my favorite play in this one is Mike Conley. Didn't really need to do much last game against the Thunder. They were sort of beating themselves. 6,900. Phenomenal price point for Mike Conley in this game. Somebody that I will have a lot of exposure to in tournaments, and it could either turn out very badly, or it could end up being the play of the night. Nice up-tempo matchup. Man, you just have to hope he is feeling better after his injury. As far as the Phoenix Suns are concerned, not going to be taking anybody there. Just don't like to take players against the Memphis Grizzlies. And finishing out the Memphis Grizzlies, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, of course, in play. I think Zach Randolph more so than Marc Gasol. Alex Lynn is a very solid defender. And Jeff Green. Phoenix Suns are bad against small forwards. Jeff Green needs to do what he was brought here to do. I could see a little bit of Jeff Green running hog wild just to see what happens, but definitely a tournament-only play. He's not accumulating enough peripheral statistics to merit cash game consideration. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to me ramble on for a half an hour or so. Get your ass over to FanDuel.com and play in some World Fantasy Hockey Championship qualifiers this evening. You can join all of the participants who have already qualified for a wonderful expenses paid trip to Las Vegas. Of course, expenses again, airfare and hotel. You can put it all on red and you can pay that out of your own pocket. I'm Crazy Gaby, signing off on the Daily Fantasy Fix. We'll see you guys later.